When we look in the book of Isaiah, we have several prophecies that are made. Some in connection with Israel that was specific about the 10 tribes to the north. Them going away into captivity under the Assyrian Empire, which that all of that did take place. Warnings that were given to them and so forth, which they did not heed. There are also prophecies, of course, for Judah, the southern tribes, and about them going away into captivity for 70 years under the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar coming in and taking over. Of course, many different passages in connection with the Messiah. His coming, his death, the blessings that would be received. Here we have in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 13, a warning that is given, I believe, to Judah, to the southern kingdoms. Daryl brought a lesson on the first part of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, especially as we come down and look at verses 8 and following. Appreciated that. I went and asked him, are you going to continue on in chapter 6? He said no. So I'd been working on some verses after that. I want to present that particular thought to you. But just as a reminder, when we look beginning in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, in verse 8, and again, this is to Judah, warning that is given to them. It's a prophecy of the impending siege that they were about to go through that would destroy the temple and Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar came in. And the Lord asked, in this vision, in this statement, in connection with what Isaiah was hearing at the time, and he says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And we see Isaiah's attitude. Here am I, send me. A lot of lessons have been given over that, about the attitude that not only Isaiah is to have, but also all those that are children of God are to have. Here am I, send me. Not there he is, send him. But here am I, send me. And he said to them, go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. And this is not God saying, I don't want people, I don't want Judah to not hear me, I don't want them to obey. He's not saying that. And we see this particular passage quoted quite often, and most notably when we think back to Matthew the 13th chapter with the seed and the sower. And after the giving of that parable there in Matthew the 13th chapter, the disciples of Jesus comes to him and say, why do you teach in parables? And he quotes this particular passage. What does he mean by that, first of all? Go and tell the people, keep on hearing but do not understand, seeing, do not perceive, make the heart dull, fat. And their ears have their eyes where they do not see. What is being stated here? And I believe the best way to understand this is when we go back, and I think it is shown forth exactly what God is saying here. Whenever God sent Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, and we have over and over and over again in Exodus, the 4th chapter and following, that it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Again, I say, we need to understand the aspects of that. You remember that whenever Aaron and Moses walk in and give the commandment from the Lord was, let my people go. That upon hearing the command of God and saying, who is God that I should obey him? Upon hearing the command of God, that is what hardened his heart. Not God making him be disobedient. God doesn't do that to anyone. We understand that when we think about James 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted of God, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, brings forth sin. When sin is finished, brings forth death. what hardened Pharaoh's heart was that he was receiving instruction from God and he refused it. He did not want to hear what God had to say. And I believe that is an example of what is being stated here by the people. God knew in advance that even though he would send Isaiah and Isaiah would tell them, you need to obey God because you're going to fall into captivity. He tells them that. He warns them that. He didn't only send Isaiah, he also sent Jeremiah with the same message. And God knew they were not going to hear. God knew that. And I believe that is exactly what he's stating, being stated here. Preach, and the preaching of my word then will cause ears not to hear, those that do not love me. Eyes that will not see, hearts that are fat, having their own desires, their hearts hardened against me because of the word that comes. They want to do their own will. And then in verse 11, the question is asked. Remember, Isaiah said, when God said, who shall go forth for us? Here am I, send me. And then the instruction given to them, go and preach, so that at your preaching there will be those that will refuse to hear my word. Then Isaiah says in verse 11, Lord, how long? How long do I preach? How long am I to continue in this work that you've given me? How long do I continue in the warnings? How long do I continue in the blessings that you pronounce that they will hear? How long do I continue this? And then we see, when we look at the rest of verse 11, the answer said, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consuming, and a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. He's telling Isaiah here, you preach until I bring judgment against the people. And they're going to go away. They're going to be led away into captivity. The land is going to be desolate. The houses are going to be without a man. There will be no inhabitants that are there. The men shall be moved far away. And he's talking about, of course, from Judea all the way to Babylon. And yet in all of that, there was still a blessing that he gives. But yet a tenth will be in it, a remnant that will be returned to the land. And we see that taking place when we look, of course, in the record of Ezra and Nehemiah. That 160 years before, and it's mentioned by Isaiah also, that 160 years before the birth of Cyrus, the king of the Medians and the Persians, that came after Nebuchadnezzar, that it was by God's decree that he would be the anointed one then in sending his people back, God's people back to Jerusalem. And this is the remnant that's being spoken of, that God would work through. I want to take from this especially this thought of verse 11. Lord, how long? How long do we teach? How long do we preach? How long do we suffer with mankind? How long do we present your truths? How long? Because I believe there's answer to that. Until ears won't hear. We look in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you, Paul tells Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Lord, how long do we teach? How long do we do that? How long do we present truths to people? Time and time again we go and we study with people, and there are those that will not hear God's word. And maybe we want to give up. How long do we teach? Well, there's not a duration that's mentioned here other than the fact that until ears, it is the onus is upon the hearers. The instruction is given to the teachers, you and me. We teach God's word. If they close their ears, that's the hardening of their heart, so to speak. But you keep teaching. And what you teach is so important. Preach the word. We can change the message. I will tell you, we can change the message that is delivered here by preachers and teachers here in this congregation, and we can fill the building. All we have to do is just change the message. Change our practices. And we could have this building filled, but would it be in accordance with God's word if it's not by his word? We see the effects of exactly what Paul told Timothy here. He said, there are those that will heap up for themselves teachers. And they're standing in the wings always, wanting to give forth a message that is not in accordance with God's will. And I will tell you where that happens. You see multitudes gather. You see multitudes gather. How long, Lord? How long do we preach until ears won't hear? How long, Lord, until hearts won't be cut? And we look over in the 119th Psalm, verses 69 and 70. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. And there are those that will hear the preaching of God's word and will not touch them at all. Because not only is it fat, it's also scarred. Because of long-time rejection of God's word. It's not cut so that they will receive the truth. And we as children of God, we as Christians today, we teach until the hearts won't be cut. And again, it's not our determination, but it's their determination. Whether or not they will receive the word we teach. No duration of time given until the hearts are not cut. The decisions upon every individual about receiving God's word we teach. We continue to do so. How long do we preach or teach? Until minds will not accept. We look in Matthew 21, 42 through 44. Jesus said, have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It was marvelous in our own eyes. And Jesus is saying this before he goes to the cross. And he's speaking about himself. He was the stone of stumbling that came. Those that would stumble over him would be those that did not love God, did not follow God's will, did not follow the most important things concerning the law that he was questioned about in the very next chapter in Matthew 22, which is the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And they didn't listen to that. And because of that, Jesus became a stumbling stone before them. This is not the Messiah that we were expecting. We want him to look differently. We want him to act differently. We want him to do different things. The Messiah we want will establish a kingdom here upon this earth. We'll have an army that he will lead. We'll fight against the Romans that we are under this day. And will deliver us. And then we will have a kingdom, as the rabbinical writing says, that will be set up for 1,000 years here upon this earth. It was minds that wouldn't accept. He says then in verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And he's talking about the nation of God's people that would hear, that would be made up both of Jew and Gentile. Christians. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Will have a broken and contrite heart because they listen to what Jesus says through his words. They will listen to God's word. And their spirit will be broken to turn to the Lord. But then he says, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to a powder. And what he's speaking about there is the judgments that come from the word of God. Unto utter destruction of those that reject and rebel against him. And will not listen to the truths. We teach until minds will not accept. And it's not our determination. We teach until they turn away. We continue on. Until time is no more, we teach. We look over in 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 26. Then comes the end. And there is an end that is coming. And it is going to take so many by surprise when that takes place. People in 2001 thought the world was coming to an end when the Twin Towers were struck by those planes. We had a lady visit us that Sunday after that took place. And I brought a lesson in connection with, at that time, not knowing what the future holds. And I don't think my lesson had one thing to do with it, but she rendered obedience unto God and was baptized for remission of her sins. She lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Matter of fact, became a member where Ron Cox was preaching at the time. And as far as I know, still a faithful member today. But we don't know what will happen and so forth. There is going to be an end that comes. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, that is Christ, when he put down, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And until time is no more, we continue to teach. And we don't know when that time is, but as long as we can, we continue to teach and to preach God's word. How long, Lord? You just keep preaching. That's the Lord's instruction. There'll be a time when this will not matter anymore, because when he comes at the end, there will be no more faith, there will be no more hope, and there will be no more need for a Savior, because the saved will be with their Father in heaven for all eternity. How long, O Lord? How long to obey until the last breath? Those that we teach to, we teach until there's no more breath left in their body. We look over in Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the flesh will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Keep teaching. Keep teaching. Give every man the word and every woman the word of God until the last breath, that they will hear. If they will come and listen to God's word, and if you go to them and present it, you teach until their last breath, and I will also suggest to you our last breath. How long, Lord, to obey? 1 Peter 2, verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And because of that, they turn to you and obey your will. How long to obey? As long as there is life within not only them, but us also. In our going and teaching the word, and that word hopefully then will cut to the heart and bring people to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, I will very gladly be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. You think about those words that Paul speaks there. And when you go down a little bit further from what he says here, you look at and see exactly what he meant by this. I will very gladly be spent for you. Spend and be spent. I give my all in teaching God's word. Five times received I 40 stripes, save one, Paul says. And then goes through all the different things that he went through. And wherever I look at that, I will tell you there's an aspect of shame in my life. When I put myself beside Paul and the things that he went through, and I ask myself the question, am I doing the Lord's will, and am I doing it the way that he wants it? And am I following the example that's set forth by Paul? That rendering of obedience to bring forth the word, the teachers teaching until their very last breath. How long to watch and be prepared until there is no more danger? And there's coming a time when there will be no more danger whatsoever. We look in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 9. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You see, there are those that are teaching that particular so-called gospel, peace and safety, but not in accordance with God's will. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk are drunk at the night. But let us who are led by the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love and a helmet of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there will come a time in which there will be no more danger. There will come a time in which there will not be a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 9, especially there in verse 8. There'll be a time when all of that is over and there'll be no worries about that anymore. But it is always a danger as long as time is. How long? To watch and be prepared until there is no more danger. How long, Lord? 94th Psalm, verses 3 through 15. How long will the wicked triumph? And we think about that today. We think about that today in society. And we see those who deny Jesus. And we see the great riches that they have and the possessions that they have. And deny their Savior. And we could ask the question, how long will the wicked triumph? And we look at those that come in the name of Jesus but do not teach the truth. And we see the great fame that they have. We see their buildings huge and full. And we can say, how long will the wicked triumph? And we go on, they utter speech, they speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. That's part of the problem today. And the danger that does exist because of the falsehoods they bring as being taught by Christ. They slay the widow and the stranger, they murder the fatherless. Yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, then when you will be wise. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. I will tell you, we can look around us and we can see the wicked prosper, but they will come to naught. And the reward they have is while they live this life. But on the other hand, those that are following God's will, that doesn't look as though they have any power, any strength whatsoever, are strong and mighty in Christ Jesus. And not only are they receiving the blessing as they live, they will receive the ultimate blessing, which is life eternal in heaven. How long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? Not long. Not long, because the Lord is coming. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. The Lord knows that because he knows who are those that are his. The ones that have named the name of Christ and departed from iniquity. He knows who they are. And there is where the true triumph is. How long do you have today? I ask each and every one of us. How long do we have to turn to the Lord? Maybe those in the audience that are not children of God, we look and see what is stated in James 4, chapter verse 13 through 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. And that is the message that we get forth to people that are not children of God. How long do you have? You don't know. But it's also a message for us. How long do we have to serve our Lord, to preach that word? How long, Lord, how long do I go and teach? Lord, how long do I put up with those that rebel against you? And exactly as God told Samuel of the children of Israel that rebelled against him and asked for a human king, God said, they have not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. And when we keep that in mind, we understand that we don't give up. There's another aspect in connection with that also. We, as I think especially Americans, we want to see immediate results. And sometimes we don't recognize and may never even know that the planted word that we give may go into a heart that receives it and germinates maybe years down the line. But it's God's word that is planted in them, and we are to give forth those words. Sandy? We think about how long, Lord? How long are we to continue? How long, Lord, do we continue to preach, people not listening? How long, Lord? Until time is no more, until there's no more breath in our body, we continue. And again, going back to each and every one of us, when will our life end? It is as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We don't know when that end is. We are not to grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's the bottom line, Galatians 6 and verse 9. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.